Good. I hope you enjoyed praying together. And I believe as we pray, great things will happen. Let's come to God's word this morning. And we're going to continue on in the book of Acts. And we are in Acts chapter 3. All right. So in Acts chapter 3, we have an account after the time of Pentecost. And it talks about Peter and John going up to the temple to pray. Okay, and we start at verse 1. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Okay. And in the following verses, we see that Peter then, as the crowd gathers, okay, verse 11, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he preached the gospel. Okay, he proclaimed Jesus, and that is what happened. And many were saved. So let's look at that. Let's look at those verses this morning and see what God speaks to us. Lord, we thank you that your word is living and active. Thank you that you are at work in our lives as you were in the lives of Peter and John. Lord, I pray as we come to your word this morning, your Holy Spirit will anoint me, anoint our hearts and our minds and our ears to receive your word, to understand it and to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, what we're going to look at this morning is we're going to see the similarities between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3. Yeah, we all know about Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Well, what happened on the day of Pentecost? The disciples were all together and they were praying. Like, look at Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It says that they all joined together constantly in prayer. That's what the disciples were doing. Jesus had told them, go and wait for the gift of the Father, for the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, that's what the disciples were doing. They were praying. In Acts chapter 3, when this great miracle took place, okay, that's the first recorded miracle. Acts chapter 2 speaks about many miraculous signs, but this is an actual record. We know exactly what the miracle was. Okay. What were Peter and John doing? Think about it. Verse 1. They were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. That's what they were doing. Okay. They were not going to a healing meeting. They were going to pray. And as they were going to pray, this must have been their habit, engaged in that, suddenly, just as in Acts chapter 2, suddenly the Holy Spirit was poured out. Here, suddenly, Peter and John felt something from God, and they were able to touch this man who was paralytic and heal him. Okay. So I want to just pause for a minute on the first thing about prayer. You know, in times of revival, in times of crisis, at any time, I think the focus on prayer should be, a focus on prayer should be there. We are hearing of increasing number of COVID cases. Yeah, COVID cases. This is the one time you don't want to be around people who are positive. Okay? We're hearing increasing number of COVID cases, and it's coming close to us, you know, Andrew's society. Yeah, there, you have somebody there. Kishan told us this week about the building next to his, the whole family who sadly were tested positive. And the predictions by all the pandemic experts have said that by 15th of June or something, we'll be reaching 9, 10, 12,000 cases a day. We've hit it. Okay, they've predicted these calculations. And they said by the 15th of August, they will be close to 18 lakh cases every day. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal number. Okay, so the cases are going in exponentially. There is no reduction happening. If there's any time we need to pray, it is now. On one of my other groups, somebody put up a picture of the hospitalization and treatment charges in Max Hospital in somewhere, okay? And the charges were phenomenal. It'll cost you probably 1 lakh per day to be treated at one of those hospitals. Incredible, okay? Somebody else put up a picture of the emergency ward in one of Bombay's hospitals. This is the emergency ward. And it was pathetic to see that happen. You had two patients sharing a bed. You had people lying on the floor and you know, sick there because all the other spaces were taken up by COVID patients. So friends, I want to just say to you, hey, we need to wake up. Okay, we are in a global crisis. By the grace of God, it has not touched us or our families. We are safe, we are healthy. Praise God for His grace. But we do need to pray for others who are out there, you know, for others who are being infected. And I want to just commend those who have joined the prayer chain that I made an appeal some time ago, and more people have joined. And I would encourage others as well. Will you be part of a praying community? Okay, that's the least that we can do as we pray. Okay, so the second thing is, what we'll look at is they're going up to pray. The second thing is, this was a sudden move of God. It was not something planned. Peter and John didn't go around saying, okay, let's see who's sick and we'll try to heal them. No, they were just going to pray, and the Holy Spirit suddenly spoke to them, and they had faith rose up in their hearts to heal this man. Now, I want to say something. Is this, you know, this man had been begging there for many, many years. Okay, he wasn't just there. You know, it says there, he was being carried out to beg every day, to beg from those going in the temple courts. So surely he must have been begging there when Jesus walked around that area. Okay, when Jesus healed everybody, this man must have been there as well. But for some reason, he was not healed at that time. Isn't that amazing? 40 years he's been there. Oh, he's been a paralytic. We don't know for how many years he's been there. He was a regular feature of those temple courts. But when Jesus walked the earth, for some reason, this man did not get his healing. But on this day, when Peter and John were there, he got his healing. So there's something we need to know about God's timing. Okay? We cannot control when somebody will get healed or if somebody will get healed. Our job is to be a prayerful people and to step out in prayer and pray. I was so blessed to hear Sundar's testimony. Were you blessed to hear Sundar's testimony? Yeah. Now, Sundar has been on the prayer list every day. Many people have been praying and praying for his healing. Wow. You know, Sunith had another testimony. If you're on the prayer list, you'll know that he had these styes in his eye, and two of them have dissolved on their own. Praise God. One is still there. You've got to continue to pray for that one. But two of them have gone. And we've got to be in expectation, knowing that God will use us suddenly. Okay, so let's be people who are spending time in God's presence. We're spending time in prayer. We're spending time in the Word, believing that suddenly, when the need arises, God can use us. Okay? And that's what it was. Okay, we look at the third thing that happened is, you know, this man, 40 years of paralytic, suddenly he starts walking. And not just walking, if you look at verse 8, he says he's walking and jumping and praising God. So this is not just a sign and a wonder, but this is really a conversion as well, where he says, oh, God has healed me. Wow. You know, so perhaps this man had heard about Jesus. We don't know, but because he must have, because he's been in those temple courts for so many years, and people all around that had heard about Jesus. But this is what happens. Now, Peter and John, what do they do? Okay, and this is the important bit. You see, the healing is a sign, and a sign points to something else. This is as you drive on the expressway and you're driving to Mumbai, you see a sign that says Mumbai. Okay, that sign is pointing to the city of Mumbai. Okay, we don't stop around that sign, but we know that that sign is going to lead us to something. And the same thing here, you know, the healing was wonderful, especially for this man, and that's great. But Peter used this opportunity not to launch a healing meeting, but he went and he proclaimed the gospel. Okay, so we've got to realize that physical healing is important, it's very important, but of utmost importance is the healing of the spirit of the person. Okay, and this is what Peter did. Okay? He gathered, as a crowd gathered as a result of the healing. And in verse 12, it says, when Peter saw this, he said, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Okay, why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? He says, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. And then he gets into the gospel reasons. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses to this. And then he says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all can see. So two things to note there. Number one is Peter uses this opportunity to proclaim Jesus. He says, this man, this sign, and this wonder has taken place because of Jesus. Okay? He says it's through faith in Jesus, through the name of Jesus. Now, that's encouraging for us. Peter didn't say it's because of my godly life. It's because of all the time I prayed, or it's because of, you know, I gave up everything to follow Jesus. That's why this man was healed. No, he says it's because of faith in Jesus, through the power of Jesus. So there's hope for all of us when we pray for the sick. So I want to encourage us this morning. Let's be a people who are full of prayer. We are full of expectancy, waiting for the suddenly of God. We don't know when the Holy Spirit will decide to move, but we've got to be prepared. Let's be people that when we do see the power of God at work, we are quick to give glory to Jesus. Yeah. And we say, you know why this healing happened? It's because we prayed in the name of Jesus. And we go on and then see what Peter goes on to say in verse 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and the times of refreshing may come to the Lord. Okay. So this is what he says. He says, great, you've seen the sign and wonder. But you know why? It's because of Jesus. Yeah. And this is what you need to do. You've seen this. Repent. Believe in Jesus. And the gospel was preached. Okay. The fourth thing that happens there is, which we don't see recorded in this chapter, but multitudes were saved. How many were saved? Okay. You've got to learn investigating to find out. Okay, how many thousands were saved on the day of Pentecost? Can somebody put up the number of fingers? How many? 1, 2, 3, 3,000, all right? 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost. You know how many were saved after this miracle happened? Well, you got to turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 4 to read this. It says, but many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Okay. That means 3,000 were saved then, and now they grew to 5,000. So probably about 2,000 at least were saved, because it talks about men. It could have been women and children as well, but we won't get into that. You know, so there's no doubt that when there is a significant miracle, God can use that to bring salvation. So we can do that. So I want to draw things to a close this morning and to say this. One is, let's be a people of prayer. Peter and John, as was their habit, as was their custom, they were just going to pray. That's it. Number two, let's be a people who are expecting God to move. That means when we see an opportunity, let's step in there. Somebody is sick. Somebody is unwell. You know, let's pray boldly in the name of Jesus. And pray for their healing. Remember, we can't heal them. It's just God who moves when we pray with faith in the name of Jesus. Number three, when we do see those healings happen, let's be quick to give glory to Jesus. Let's be quick to proclaim the gospel and say, you know why you were healed? Because this Jesus is alive. And this is what you need to do. You need to repent. Right? And number four, let's expect for great salvation. You know, people are without hope today. Think of the thousands every day who are infected and tested positive for COVID. They have no hope. Or very little hope, let's put it that way. But we can be a beacon of hope where we can pray for people and believe God for healings and see people healed. And remember, the healing is a sign that points to the reality of Jesus. Okay? And I tell you what, you know, we don't even have to go and meet people to pray for their healing. You can pray for them on the phone. You can pray for them over a Zoom call, you know, or anything else. And God can still work. Okay? So I want to end by just reading another time of prayer that the disciples had in Acts chapter 5. Okay? And it says there, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Yeah. And there's a whole prayer there from 23 onwards. But it just says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And that's our prayer. You know, we read these accounts in the book of Acts and say, Lord, may that happen today. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Would you work in our lives powerfully? So I'm going to pray for us this morning. You know, that God would use us, yeah? And God would use us as we pray in the name of Jesus. Use us to see people healed and use us to preach the word of God boldly. Amen? Shall we pray together? Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, that you acted with great power on the day of Pentecost. You acted with great power with Peter and John as they went to pray at the temple. Lord, you are the same, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would work with great power in our lives today. Lord, we look at these accounts and we say, Lord, do it in our lives. Lord, as we pray for so many who are sick and needy, Lord, as we pray in the name of Jesus, would you stretch forth your hand from heaven and heal? Lord, I pray for each one of us that you're anointing, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord? And I pray that across the nation this would happen. You pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, all Christians, Lord, that we would go forth boldly and pray for the sick and see them healed. We would boldly proclaim the gospel and see millions turn to you in faith. Lord, we want to see that, Lord. We want to see that, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.